Hi, my name is Matthew, and I am 15 years old. I have a disability, and before I tell you what that is, I want you to imagine. Imagine, in grade one, you think you are the smartest kid in the class, because you cannot read, color, or write as well as the other kids can. Imagine, in grade three, you go to a psychologist, and he tells you that you're very bright, gifted even, but you cannot concentrate, and that's why you're doing bad in school. Imagine making movements and sounds that you cannot control, and being called spaz kid for 4 years. Imagine, in grade five, your teacher tells you that if you can put your hands on the desk, feet on the floor, and sit still, you will do better in school. But you know that's just not going to happen. Imagine, doctors tell you that you have several disabilities. And as you try and chew through that, the kids keep weirdly killing you. Imagine, going to school becomes so tough, you have to force yourself to go. And when you get there, all you want to do is lie on the floor and scream your head off. Imagine, going to five different schools in 4 years. Imagine, the depression, anxiety, and anger that could come from being different. Well, that was my life. And my disabilities are Tourette's syndrome, attention deficit, hyperactive disorder, and ALD. This caused me to struggle with anxiety and depression. Now, I go half-time at York Center and half-time in my home high school. And I am happy and it is going really well. 1 year has made a huge difference in my life, but my only regret is that not everyone with disabilities can get this help. What I ask the government is to put some more money into school systems to make more schools like York Center, or even better, create classes like York Center inside the normal school system so kids can stay with their friends. If it weren't for the staff at York Center, my doctors, and my parents, I would not be here in front of you today.
We continue our discussion on special needs. New Mentality is a provincial group working on children's mental health.
Let's listen to their journeys in mental health.
Looking back, I almost respect myself for one instance that I did scream when I was going to be put into a hospital that was like a jail. Okay. It's really, really disgusting, and I now work for this hospital, but that was the only way that I could kind of have my rights. I would go, like I was in the hospital, and I would go to the doctor's office and say, can I get some information about what my illness is at the time, bipolar. And no, there's no information, we don't have any.
Children and youth don't know they have rights. The UNCRC exists, but I remember when we talked about it at one of our conferences and we were saying, you know, it's your right to access medical care, they were like, we don't have rights, we're not old enough to have rights. We're not, you know, a lot of youth associate rights with voting age, and so don't know where to turn to access support, because if their needs aren't being met because they don't feel like there's anything to back them up.
They're so bloody happy to get any kind of treatment that should they not feel like they understand their meds or they understand what's going on or they even like their counselor, they don't speak out because they don't want to be booted off the waiting list or booted onto a waiting list. They just feel like they're going to work within whatever constraints they have to do the best they can.
Yeah, so, they're taking whatever they can get.
Yeah, so it's not really a rights-based approach. It's more like a needs-based approach, and they feel like if they're getting their basic needs, you know, they're getting some services. Well, frankly, you know, I would say 95% of the young people that were at a particular conference when we were talking about, say, meds, mental health meds, they didn't know what they were on, and they didn't even know that they had the right to know. They just kind of felt like, well, whatever, we should be thankful that at least we have a diagnosis. Mental health services aren't seen as a right, no. Certainly not for children.
They're not mandated, so.
I just felt that, like, during the time in which I was suffering from depression and going to different agencies for help, that I felt that what I had to say wasn't really taken into account.
Young people should have a say in their treatment. Decisions can't be made without the person who's being affected.
Very rarely when a child presents at a mental health agency are there treatment options. Like, it's not like there's a menu and the young person chooses the vegetarian option. Mm-hmm. It's like they present, and then there's one course of action, right? And then if that course was satisfactory, they can say at the end whether or not that was satisfactory.
I mean, I was present in the room. Sometimes the social worker or the doctor saying, okay, this is the medication that, you know, we should be on. And so we both, I guess, sort of had to put our blind faith in whatever the team member was saying.
This so there were no options
yeah,
presented. Right?
Yeah, this yeah. is him or you've been diagnosed with this.
To me, the need for funding, it goes hand in hand with the rights of the child and the youth to access mental health.
A youth engagement shouldn't be something that's good to do. It should actually be a practice because children have the right to be there. Our last Children's Mental Health Conference last year, one of the recommendations that the youth made is that they wanted an advocate for mental health so that they could understand their rights and so that they wouldn't be hearing this because they've had the privilege to come to a conference. We're a system that works for youth, and we need to be a system that works with youth because we need to include both the people that we're catering to and hear their voices in decision making.